Yeah, you ever had one of those days where everything you touch turns to excrement? That has been the story of my day today, loves. Every single thing I have done, and some of it has been, all right, the vast majority has been because of the incompetence of other people. I will take 10% of the blame for one of the things that happened today, but yeah, I'm going to blame the sun. In part for something else that happened today, involving leaving something in the car. But I left something in the car because I was incredibly distracted by something that should not have been happening at the time when I got home. It should have happened a lot earlier in the day. So that's another story that we'll get into at some point. But I've been meaning to do this anyway. So we're opening up the phone lines for your complaint. Your complaint. What is driving you buggy? What is driving you batty? Close encounters with the incredibly incompetent, and the overall bitch line, the complaint line is open. And, you know, it literally happened hours ago, pulling into a drugstore, and you don't expect. Bicycles, I'm sorry, look, maybe I'm just jealous because I don't own a bicycle, but a lot of bicyclists want to be treated with the same respect of motor vehicles. Well, I have a novel idea. If you want to be treated with the respect of motor vehicles, why don't you follow motor vehicle law? Like maybe not drive on the left unless you're in London. That would be a start. 803-0930, star 930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. So it is a general bitch session. I'm giving you a chance to spew your venom, which will be good for you. It's going to relieve your blood pressure. It's going to make you feel a whole lot better. Let's go to Carol in West Seneca. Carol, you are on WBEN. Welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
Hello, my love. I feel like I should be popping an extra blood pressure pill right now.
Well,
It's
I'm glad
just been
I'm on
one of
your
those
show.
days.
Yeah, because now I don't got to take mine for tomorrow. You know what blows my mind, and I don't want anybody to take this personal, is the UAW going on strike. So I did my homework. I looked up to see what these people make. I have family members that get it. They retired, what they're on, this and that, blah, blah, blah. And they're doing very well being retired, okay? But working, they also did very well. And nobody says what they're all getting. They only bitch about what they're not getting. And that's everybody's bitch. So they make anywhere starting between 28 and up the ladder. You know, there's people on the line making $44 an hour. They get full dental, full health care, full cosmetic surgery. They get eyewear, eyeglasses, appointment, everything's covered. They get attorneys. They get closing costs on their homes, they're all paid for. They get divorced. If they get a divorce, they have attorneys, General Motors supplies attorneys for these people. They pay minimum to nothing, okay? So they want 40% more an hour, okay? So wouldn't everybody love if they were making $30 an hour to automatically get paid, you know, $48 an hour, you know, $58 an hour, just because if they go on strike? I mean, I know the world, it ain't the same as it was 10, 15 years ago, 10, you know, 5 years ago. You know, COVID really changed everything. But there should be no reason that anybody should go on strike, and what they want, they get. The other thing is what they're getting. Nobody says what they're getting right now. Right now, today, all them people that are on strike come up to the podium and say, this is what I'm getting every day that I go to work. I make, you know, they don't have to say exactly what they're getting, but I'm making $38 an hour. I get all health care, all optical, all dental. I mean, my brother used to get $5,000 a year. He got his caps covered, all his appointments covered, all his fillings. He paid zero. Eyeglasses, he paid zero. His health care was through the moon and back. Through the moon and back. He paid hardly no copays. If anything, it was like a $5 copay. And that's what being having some, I'm going to say, illnesses, okay, that are lifelong illnesses. So So these people that from the UAW, that just burns me up. That they, everybody keeps wanting more. But, okay, so how many sick days did they get? Now, they were bailed out. They didn't give anything up. They, GM was bailed out by Obama. And the workers maybe gave up a couple personal days. Maybe. And they said that would make a big dent. Okay? But to me, nobody should get 40% more in pay. Come on. Be realistic. I mean, I can see a percentage, like the school system. Okay? Now, I know we need cars. Stop buying foreign. Start supporting our local Ford, Chevy, General Motors. You know, start supporting our own. Stop importing stuff. You know, you don't see Germany driving around Equinox. No, they're not allowed to. What a joke.
Okay, well, there's many schools of thought on this, as you know, and I know, I'm quite sure that there are people listening connected to UAW or their families who are going to say, well, you sound a little bit jealous, and maybe if you feel that way, you should have been an auto worker.
Correct. And even if I was an automaker and I made, like I looked online, $44 an hour for putting a spring in online and I got 18 years, I think $44 an hour with full benefits is nothing to bitch about. I think that if my family members worked at Moog and they're making bang and they have wonderful health care there and I and everything else, even though the new owners took over, let me tell you one thing. Another thing, like, go sidestepping, like, to Moog and all that. They don't fire people for no reason. If you lose your job at, the auto industry or a big manufacturer like Moog or the auto industry, well, something went wrong there. You know,
the figures you just quoted, okay, the $44 an hour figure, that comes out to $91,520 a year based on an 8-hour workday based on 52 weeks a year. What do you think an auto worker is worth? What would you pay auto workers?
I would pay them 30-some bucks an hour. You know, I mean, well, let's put it this way. It depends on how much time they have in. You know, everybody, even I tell my own kids, you know, no matter what profession you get into, you start at the bottom, and you're paid for your goodness. So you start at the bottom, and the longer you're in something, the more money you get paid. So you don't want to keep swapping jobs and doing this and working here and working there. If you're going to be a pharmacist, a doctor, or an RN, or an auto maker, and if you put your 20-some years in there and retire, and you're getting or working for the town or the village, 20 years, you retire. I mean, these people tell you right out, I'm getting damn good for putting 20 years in. I mean, I would say, you know, it depends on how much time you have in, but at the end of the day, when you put your 20 years in, if you're making, you know, 20 years, you're retired, you're making 40 bucks an hour, and then when you retire, you still get your benefit plan. I mean, come on, that's pretty damn good.
So, just out of curiosity, how do you feel about what Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs make?
I think that's crazy. I think it's deplorable. I think that no one at all should be making that amount of money at all.
Why not? Because without Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs and Milano and all those guys, that stadium would be empty and the ownership would be, I mean, you know, they wouldn't be doing very well now, would they?
Well, let me say, they should be paid good, but they're being paid well over the word good, okay?
No, they're being paid exactly what they deserve. Nobody is overpaid. Just hear me out. Nobody is overpaid, because if the ownership of a corporation, whether it's the Buffalo Bills or the UAW, believes that somebody is worth $44 an hour or several tens of thousands of dollars per game, it must be because they consider it a good investment.
Well, then let's put it this way. So, okay, they're paying the UAW or Josh Allen or whoever all this money, okay? That new stadium they're building, it's like someone that owns their own machine shop or somebody that owns their own company. If you need a new building or you need a new warehouse, you build it and you pay for it. Well, that stadium, the owners that own it, They should be flipping the bill for that. They should be selling the old one and putting the money toward the new one and taking out a loan and paying that. Why should the taxpayers of Erie County be paying and flipping part of that bill?
Actually, the Buffalo Bills are paying a significant amount. They also made significant concessions with respect to cost overruns, which happen on any major construction project. We did a show on this a few months ago. My opinion is, as far as new NFL stadiums are concerned, I think the people of Western New York and New York State did pretty well in this particular deal. Because the Bills, I think, could have held out for a lot more than what they actually ended up getting.
I'm just saying, if you own your own business and you need a new building, you have to, you know, you pay for it.
You have to understand, it's the NFL's world. We're just living in it.
Yeah, you're correct. You're right.
It is what it is, and it's not going to change. No politician wants to be the politician everybody remembers because they're the politician that let the Buffalo Bills get away. Thank you very much. I appreciate the call. I'd like to hear from some other people on this. What is your bitch of the day, your complaint of the day, and your close encounter with the incredibly incompetent? But just don't name any businesses or anything like that or get me into trouble in that way. But look, if Josh Allen is getting paid what he's getting paid, $250 million over X number of years, it's because the people paying the check believe he's worth the money. Therefore, if somebody believes that you are worth the money, by definition, you're not being overpaid. Let's go to Rick in Lockport on WBEN. Rick, hello.
Hey, what's going on with you? I know you're scared.
You really want to know today?
No, I got it here.
Yeah, you really don't want to know.
My problem are people who have to be somewhere yesterday and they just blow by you. One-way street, two-way streets, double-lined highways, doesn't matter. And that really, really gets under my skin.
Well, you're not one of these people doing 20 miles an hour in the left-hand lane, are you?
Oh, trust me. I can go past it in the speed limit. I got two classic cars, so I can do it.
Okay, but where have you noticed this to be a problem?
Any country road. I live out in Lockport, and these people just blow by. It doesn't matter.
Why do you think they do it?
Maybe they left home later than what they expected, and they have to get somewhere at a certain time. Maybe they're just being jerks.
See, this ties in. I'm so glad you brought this up. This ties into one of my other bitches, which are people who are habitually late. I think it is better to be somewhere 10 minutes early than 10 minutes late. And there are people, no matter how much you stress to them, I need you here at 10 minutes after 6, no later, 10 minutes after 6, and it's 20 after 6, and the phone rings, on my way, or you get the text, OMW. I mean, wait a minute, you're supposed to be here 10 minutes ago. We don't have time.
I hear you on that.
People, you know, you raise, I think, a fascinating point. About people not being accountable for their time. And do you think that maybe one of the reasons people are not, I think more people are more late than they've ever been before when we went to digital clocks and not the analog clocks, because the analog clocks with the little hand and the big hand gave you a pretty good idea of how much time you had to get somewhere. I don't think the digital clocks equate in the same way. Do you have any thoughts on that?
You know, you're probably right, especially if you're old school, you're older, you knew. Now I just look at a clock, go 6:30. Okay, don't know what that means, but when the big hand's on the six and the little hand's, you know, somewhere, you might get confused.
I love it when somebody says, I will be at your house at 6:13, and at 6:13, there they are pulling up. I like that. But it's
See,
it's
I've,
it's.
I've been
but
a DJ
let me but let me
years.
Let me give you the reverse of that. A local taxi company was supposed to have been here before a certain flight I was taking at 5:30 in the morning. So at 5:15, I'm in the shower. And I'm just wrapping up the shower. They were outside. No phone call saying, I'm waiting for you. They just took off. So I go outside, luggage in hand. I'm waiting. Then I finally realized they've already been here and they left. So I had to do some last-minute driving, and it was very unpleasant.
I hear that. See, I've been a DJ for 40 years, and if I got to be at a place at 1 o'clock, I better be there at 1 o'clock. Plain and simple.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're starting at 1, you better be there at noon to set up.
Well, I mean, that's when I got to be there. You know, I know what time the event starts, and I'm always there an hour and a half early. So, you know,
good.
Who knows what kind of problem I have.
Yeah, it's like guys in bands. I mean, you know, the band starts at 7:30. They're going to play till 10:30. They're there at 6 o'clock to set up. I mean, it's not a question of just showing up, plugging in, and playing. You got a million things you got to do when you're setting up a band. I thank you very much for the telephone call. Good to hear your complaint on WBEN. All right, so people driving like maniacs. Have you guys noticed that on the road, that people are just passing by you for no good reason whatsoever? Now, the other side of that is, on a three-lane highway, if you are doing, in a 65 zone, if you're doing 55 miles an hour, do the kindness of getting into the right-hand lane. Don't be in the left lane. Don't be in the middle lane. Be in the right-hand lane, because that's where you belong. Some people like to live life in the fast lane and take their chances. And all you're going to do, there's this great scene in the movie I mentioned last week, I think it was Dragnet, with Tom Hanks and Dan Aykroyd, where Dan Aykroyd's character is Joe Friday, is doing 8 miles under the federally mandated speed limit at the time. And Tom Hanks says, you know, it just looks bad. And it does look bad. But road rage, seriously, it isn't worth it. I mean, people get shot over road rage, and it's not good for your blood pressure. It ain't cool. We're going to continue this. I've been meaning to do this, and today just seemed like the day, because literally everything I've done, everything I have touched, has just turned into poo. Can I say poo? Oh, yeah, it's turned into poo. Thank you. It is Bowerly for Transit Town Kia and TransitTownKia.com. Now, I'm pretty sure that you're aware of media reports about these idiotic social media challenges involving Kia vehicles. Transit Town Kia can install deterrent software provided by Kia that prevents vehicles from starting without a key in the ignition. Transit Town Kia, they've been at the forefront of installing this deterrent software since it was launched earlier this year. And if you own an affected Kia and have not installed this software, it's really something you ought to do right away, like right now. This software installation is free, comes with stickers you can put on your car as additional deterrents, so would-be thieves know that your vehicle is not going to start without a key because it's had the software upgrade. Call my friends at Transit Town Kia at 668-3700, 668-3700. Schedule your appointment now, or go to transittownkia.com and click on Schedule Service. There are a few restrictions that Transit Town Kia can tell you about when you call. If you own a 2011 through 2021 Kia and are concerned about theft, call Transit Town Kia at 668-3700. Schedule your software upgrade now. Transit Town Kia, 668-3700. Tell them Bowerly sent you. News is coming up with Tom Puckett, and then we'll take more of your telephone calls. And it's like, it's a bitch session, which I've been meaning to do, but today it just has special meaning for me, because seriously, from the time I woke up, with the exception of lunch, everything has gone wrong. And Mercury isn't even retrograde, which would be the excuse some people would use. It's just one of those days. One of those days. So, like, this is the best part of my day. So you make me a happy camper, and happy campers we shall all be. With my Dan Quayle on News Radio 930 WBEN. Thank you very much, Tanner Saunders, for whipping out the Zeppelin. I appreciate that. There's a band I want to see. I've not seen them yet, but Out on the Tiles, apparently it's a Led Zeppelin tribute band, as you might imagine by virtue of its title. Anyway, welcome. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Good to have you with us. And it's complaint day. I've been wanting to open up the complaint desk, and right before the show, something happened that just, you know, it takes an awful lot these days to get me upset. But right before I came on the air, I realized something that I had left in the car. And I left it in the car because of a distraction that should not have been there. And now I got to go through all kinds of nonsense to replace what got destroyed in the car. And I just thought, you got to be kidding me. Could anything else go wrong today? So this is my oasis, okay? You guys are therapy. You guys are like talk show Valium, you know, when you call in. Because we all have things that we want to bitch about and complain about. And my general bitch line is open. And the incompetence line is open. Without naming businesses or people, you know, where have you come across incompetence? Where have you come across it? Not where by business name, but have you come across incompetence? And what really sucks is when you realize that you bear some of the burden for the incompetence of your life and the things turning into poo. Let's go to, that sounds so intellectual, doesn't it? Things turning into poo. Here's Fred in Lancaster on WBEN. Fred, hello.
Yeah, Tom, you know what really bothers me? I'm waiting in a checkout line, and the person in front of me has lobster and has filet mignon. And I have chicken and generic cans of food to save money, and then they whip out an EBT card and pay for it all. And I think to myself, I worked my whole life so that I could pay for other people to eat lobster and filet mignon, who didn't work. And that really bothers me, along with paying people pay $15 for internet service, and I'm getting charged $80 for internet service.
Oh, try having business class internet. But
socialism.
That's a
we have it right here. We're living in it. It's,
here, you know, let me give you a different
communism.
Way. Let me give you a different way of looking at that, okay? And look, I understand the frustration, okay? It's the same thing as being at the doctor's office or pharmacy and somebody's got Medicaid and they pay a $2 copay and you're paying a $3,000 copay for the same medicine. I understand from where you're coming, but look at it this
How
way.
Fair
what
is
are they
that?
Eating? Okay, filet mignon, red meat. Okay, granted, it's a lean meat, but it's red meat. So they're increasing their chances of high cholesterol. They're increasing their chances of coronary artery disease. Well, it took a long time to get out. They are increasing their chance of gout. And can we just consider lobster for just a moment? Is there a more overrated food than lobster? These things look like spiders. They crawl around on the bottom of the sea eating crap, literally crap. So I think what it is actually a government plot to rid ourselves of people. You're not buying that, are you?
What about the $80 internet and they pay $15?
Yeah, dude, I got nothing. I got seriously, I've got nothing.
It's aggravating.
It's aggravating because it seems so incredibly unfair. Because we were brought up to believe that if you played by all the rules, things were going to be just fine and dandy for you and your family. And then when you see people who seem to be living higher off the hog than you are, and yet you are paying for it or subsidizing it, I don't blame you for being upset. Now, the only thing you didn't mention was going out to the brand new luxury SUV. You didn't mention that.
Yeah, I wish I could get a brand new luxury SUV at the cost that I'm paying for my truck right now. Yeah, I would take that deal.
You know, talking about supermarkets, can I share something about supermarkets that infuriates me? Number one, Can't they just pick a design and stay with it? Why do they have to move things around in the supermarket all the time? That's number one. Number two, I'm so sick of hearing supply chain issues. That's why we don't have your favorite beverage. Oh, spare me. Number three, the self-checkout counter. Look, if I'm shopping at your place, I don't want to have to do the work. I don't want to be a checkout clerk. I don't want to have to bag. That's your job.
Tom, that bothers the heck out of me. Those self-checkout things are horrible.
Makes me want to commit petty larceny. Gee, I forgot to ring up the Doritos.
I probably have by not scanning something or accidentally missing something. We probably all have.
Accidentally. Well, maybe you could accidentally not ring up the filet mignon and the lobster. I mean, I don't encourage that. I just suggested that as a possibility.
Yeah, I'll be in jail.
I'll
have to come up with the bail.
Actually, there wouldn't be any bail. You'd be released on an appearance ticket in 2023. But anyway, how often have you seen people ahead of you in line having filet mignon and lobster and paying for it with an EBT card?
A few times, not a lot. But enough. Once is enough. All I had to do was see it once. And, of course, fresh vegetables, and I got the stuff in the frozen and in the can because I'm trying to save money. I'm worried about money, not my health.
No, I understand. I understand. But just remember, they're going to dip the lobster in butter, okay? They're going to have surf and turf. They're going to have high cholesterol, and, they'll be checking out at 54. You're going to be going strong at 80 because you're eating chicken. Look at it that way.
I guess you're right.
You're not buying it, are you? Tom, yes, sir.
No, I ain't buying it at all. But one other thing about the traffic.
<You can't. laughs>
I got a good traffic one. People should not block streets. When you're pulling up and there's a street light and it isn't changed, don't block the street because some people want to pull out of the street. Some people want to pull onto the street. And if someone's in a line, don't block the street.
Yeah, don't block the box. The signs are all over New York City, or at least they used to be before they probably got vandalized and sold for scrap. But yes, I know exactly what you're saying. But fortunately, we are supposedly one of the nicest, the nicest community in America. Damar Hamlin says so. And I see a lot of people letting people out into traffic. Especially if the person ahead of them is blocking the side street, the person behind typically will wave the person who got cut off into traffic, and then, of course, they'll stop in front of you and make a left. Or try to make a left.
Oh, that's good courteous driving. I like that.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I think sometimes driving, you have to put yourself in the other person's shoes. And I think part of driving is anticipating what the other driver is thinking right now. For example, you see a car pulling up behind a Metro bus. The other driver is thinking, how in the hell can I get into the next lane to get by this bus? So I always slow down because I just presume they're going to cut in front of me. And 9 times out of 10, I'm right. Anticipate what the other person is going to do in the car. It will save you aggravation, sir.
I believe that's a life lesson, too.
Yes, anticipating what other people are going to do, like Josh Allen did in that first game against the Jets. Oh, never mind. He perfectly anticipated the timing of those Jets. Never mind. Thank you. I appreciate the call. I don't know why I'm mentioning Josh Allen today because it was a masterful game this past Sunday. Let's go to. I love these calls, by the way. Keep them up because I've been dying to do this show, and today was just the perfect day. Okay, here's what happened to me. If you really want to know, I have to take a certain medicine that has to be kept at a certain temperature. I was distracted when I got home by something that was not of my doing, and I left the medicine in the car where it probably was 120 degrees. So now I got to replace the medicine out of pocket because of, my stupidity, but I'm going to blame it, at least 10% of it, on being distracted. That's why that happened literally 2 minutes before showtime, and I did utter some expletives just in time for the UPS driver to hear me use some very bad language, like very bad. Yeah, there were some serious bombs of all kinds of consonants coming out of my mouth. Debbie in West Seneca. Debbie, you don't think less of me because I curse, do you?
No, you should hear me. I sound like a drunken sailor sometimes.
Well, I wasn't drunk, but I was working on a good buzz. Anyway, I have to do this show. Come on. You're on WBE. Oh, the most embarrassing thing was what I said. Really bad words. I turn around and there's the UPS guy, and I'm thinking to myself, "Oh my God, this is just terrible." And I was just, you ever had that experience where you're in just a foul mood? You don't feel like running into anybody, and there's somebody who's watched your every move. I was mortified. I was embarrassed. That did not help the overall situation.
I did it once watching the Sabres game, and my son's friends were there. They heard a lot of bad words.
I'm sorry. How old were your son's friends?
They were like 12.
Oh, that's the borderline age.
Yeah,
I try to watch it around children. Sometimes I find myself not being as cognizant as I should be. But what is your complaint? What are you calling to bitch about?
Okay, this really frosts my tuchus. You go to a restaurant, you have your meal, put the money in with the check, and the waitress says, "Do you want your change?"
And this frosts you. Why? Because it should be obvious. I'm a little confused as
no,
to why that's
frustrating.
No, because
it sounds like they're asking me for my money. I used to be a waitress, and I always said, "I'll be right back with your change." And people would say, "Oh, no, we're good," or whatever. But they stand there and say, "Do you want your change?"
Wow. I'd love to hear from servers about this. And, you know, because as, you know what, I guess I would say that if you're a server, you never want to assume that the customer is going to give you a 20% tip. So it's, or
right.
25% tip. So I, if I were a server, I would probably be asking you the same thing. Hold on. I'm going to put you on hold and continue this on the other side of traffic on WBN. Great show so far, guys. I told you, you are the best therapy there is, because if I was to do a before and after blood pressure from the time I went on the air until right now, it's down considerably. Diastolic, systolic, it's down totally. And I don't keep booze in the house, so it ain't that. I haven't done this in ages. I've been dying to do it. And today, you know what? I have a million other topics that I was going to whip out, and somehow the bitch line and the incompetence line, it was just like, okay, this is the day I'm going to do it, because I'm feeling the passion for it right now. And passion's an important part of life. Debbie again. So Debbie, do you understand that the servers don't ever want to make assumptions as to what your tip is going to be? And sometimes what they appreciate, too, is if you're going to pay for the meal with a credit card, you leave the tip in cash.
Yeah, we always do. But to me, it just seems like they're asking me for a tip, which basically asking me for my money. And taking it out of my hands on what I want to give them.
Wow. I'd like to see what other people, I'd like to hear what other people have to say about that, because I'll tell you something. I have a tremendous amount of respect for servers. I mentioned, just like you, I'm a creature of habit. I go to the same places all the time. I know the servers. They always get at least 25%. They take care of me. I take care of them. And, you know, they know they're going to be taken care of. So I have not run into that.
Yeah, I used to be a server back in the day, too. But I always said, "I'll be right back with your change." And that kind of just put it back in the customer's hands.
Hmm.
You know, because one waitress might be, and you leave them $5. And another waitress might be phenomenal, and you leave her $10. So it kind of puts...
Saying waitress, everybody is now a server. It's like
I know.
Stewardesses now. We have flight attendants.
I know. I used to be a server.
Okay. I don't want to get you into trouble with pronouns and substitutions.
Oh, no, I'm not a server anymore.
I know, my love. I get that distinct feeling. All right. By the way, how much do you usually tip?
Usually between like $8 and $10. My husband does the calculations so much.
$1,000 bill. Now, like, what do you generally run up, and then what do you generally tip, like percentage wise?
I don't know. He does the tips with tripling the tax or something.
No, that's good. Yeah, that's fair. That's yeah. Decent amount of money. Sure, that's 23-24%. Depending, of course, on Erie County or wherever you
happen to be. That was my complaint for the day.
And I appreciate that. Thank you very much. By the way, something I did not realize, and I've not been there in years, and I did say "been" for our Canadian listeners because I do speak Canadian from time to time on the program. I'd like to make them feel involved and everything. But a lot of times, you know, if you go to Niagara-on-the-Lake and you eat, if you say, look, we're locals, you don't get charged the full amount. Did you know that? You say, yeah, we're local. I'm just saying, I saw that happen once several years ago. I was going out with this hotshot lawyer, and she happened to be Canadian, so she was technically a barrister, and that was a little trick that I picked up. I never knew that. I wonder if that's going to work, like, if we go to Germany or something. Yeah, I'm a local. No, you're not, dude. Not with that accent, you're not. All right, it's coming up. We'll take more calls coming up. I'm having a blast. You're having a blast. And we're getting, you know, we are collectively lowering the blood pressure of everybody in Western New York. And, yes, I will have to pay out of pocket $129 for the medicine I left in the car today in the bright sunshine, which expires at 79 degrees. And I am kicking myself over my own incompetence with the exculpatory factor that I was distracted. That's probably passing the blame where it ought not to be passed, but I'm not above that, really. I got to stop watching Downfall because there's another guy who did that, but he did it from a bunker in Berlin. All right, sorry. I get off on these little tangents. By the way, I've made it through about three episodes of Band of Brothers. My jury is still out on Band of Brothers. It started off very strong. There's some little things I'm seeing I'm not liking, but I'm not going to judge. I'm not going to prejudge, okay? Oh, and by the way, yesterday I made reference to a human being at the end of his life is a bag of blank, and I thought, was that a Tony Soprano quote? No, that was a quote from Al Swearengen. Ian McShane is Al Swearengen on Deadwood, and it involved the Minister Smith and the end of his life due to a brain tumor, like packing a snowball. If you are familiar with the show, you know of what I speak. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, don't worry about it. Eventually, I'll say something that makes sense.